Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. What with the financial meltdown, post-election euphoria wearing off and turning into disillusion in some quarters, and the general tumult in the world, it's been difficult to keep up on developments in the digital realm that may affect our lives in the physical realm. It's a good time for some catch-up, so here goes. On what some might consider a positive side of technology, the GPS tracker that his parents put into his car to keep track of where their son was going and how fast he was traveling to get there, turned out to be a blessing in disguise for the teen. A young lad named Sean Malone out in California got a speeding ticket for going 62 in a 45-mile-per-hour zone. He was supposedly clocked by police radar. Sean's parents had set up the GPS tracker to record the speed of Sean's car every 30 seconds and to send them an email if he ever went over 70. The GPS said that the lad was going just 45 miles an hour at the same time that the police radar said he was going 62. The parents presented this evidence, and the police, in response, produced an affidavit from an expert who said that GPS systems weren't all that accurate and the police radar was probably correct. Sean was duly convicted and fined. Not the end of the story, however. The family appealed and called the expert to the stand in a live trial. Under oath, the expert backpedaled faster than Lance Armstrong pedals forward and admitted, in fact, that the GPS system was accurate to within 1 mile per hour. Case dismissed. A happy ending for Sean, but an opportunity for the rest of us to ponder the two technologies involved in this case. If the GPS was correct, then the police radar must have been way off. Could that be possible? The answer is yes. Radar guns used by police departments are not of the set-it-and-forget-it variety. They have to be calibrated on a regular basis to be kept accurate. Next time you have an unpleasant experience with a speed trap using radar, if you're sure that your speedometer said you were doing significantly less than the radar said, you might want to ask when that radar gun was last calibrated. The other issue here is the GPS technology itself. This particular GPS system not only told Sean when to turn right or left to get where he was going, it also kept a record of his speed and where he'd been. That turned out to be to his advantage in this case, but that's not always the way things happen. Police are now getting subpoenas for suspects' GPS records to show that someone might have been at a certain place at a certain time when a crime was committed. Lawyers in divorce court are trying to get their hands on GPS records to show that an allegedly philandering spouse was not where he or she said he or she was at a particular time. And car rental companies are touting their GPS technology and even charging extra for it. And then turning around and trying to charge the customers fines if the GPS shows that they had exceeded the speed limit while they were renting the car. This latter extortion attempt hasn't fared too well in court if the customer takes the time and expense to challenge it, but most people don't. So, on the one hand, GPS technology can be a tool to defend yourself in some cases. But in others, it can be an expensive gadget that you pay for and own that actually convicts you. If you have a GPS unit in your car, it might be worth finding out what kind of records it keeps and for how long. You may want to erase those records from time to time. And while we're on the subject of auto travel, you may have heard, well, probably not if you only read the papers, that the Homeland Security folks have introduced long-distance RFID readers at some border checkpoints on the Mexican and Canadian borders. This technology allows RFID chips in the new passport cards and in some states' driver's licenses, Maine is not one of those states yet, to be read from a distance of 20 to 30 feet. The passport cards, by the way, are not full passports, but are issued as a convenience and at less cost than a full passport to those who regularly travel back and forth across the U.S. border by land or sea, but not by air. Many Mainers who live along the Canadian border are getting these cards for the sake of convenience. The idea is that as someone in a car who has one of the passport cards approaches the checkpoint, The RFID tag in their passport card is read, and their picture and other info pops up on a computer screen, so that by the time the car gets to the booth, the border agent has all the info in front of him or her and can decide if you're who you say you are. Sounds like a convenience for the traveler and for the agent. And it may well be in this limited circumstance. But what if someone else with an RFID reader scans your passport card or driver's license from 20 to 30 feet away without you knowing it? Not to worry, says Homeland Security. The RFID chips in these cards will only contain a unique number that will access your information from a Homeland Security database. The bad guys won't actually get any information about you, just a number. Sounds good, until we recall that government databases have not proven to be all that secure of late, as members of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, clinical drug trial groups at the National Institutes of Health, and many others will testify. And of course, even without access to that Homeland Security database, it would be easy to keep track of where someone had been or their comings and goings past a particular point, since the number on each passport card is unique. And in foreign lands, having one of these cards in your pocket or purse would brand you as an American to anyone with an RFID reader, which is not always a popular thing to be these days in an increasingly large part of the world. Perhaps that's why the Association of Corporate Travel Executives, about as far as you can get from bleeding heart liberalism, has asked for the new system to be halted until its implications can be more fully reviewed from a security perspective. And speaking of RFID tags, the government in the Papua province of Indonesia has proposed a bill that would make it mandatory for those infected with HIV to have RFID-like microchips implanted under their skin so that the government could follow, identify, and punish HIV-positive people who infect others knowingly. Ponder that prospect for a moment. In fact, ponder it for a little longer, since we're out of time today, but we'll be sure to continue our pondering right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.